Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I am Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind email address. If you have never gotten in touch with the show before, why not give it a try? You can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. We accept messages of all types, especially if you have feedback to a recent episode, maybe something interesting to add on a topic we've talked about, or especially this week, if you got something about Dune, hit us up.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into it. This first one comes to us from Matt, and this one is titled Cave Biology. Hey, Rob, Joe, and JJ. I was just listening to your first episode about cave-dwelling life and was very pleased when you started talking about subjects related to genetics. I thought I'd share some of my thoughts on the subject. First, you asked for comment about the Sonic the Hedgehog pathway. One of you, I can't remember who, wondered aloud which was discovered first, hedgehog or Sonic Hedgehog. It was hedgehog, and it was so named because fruit flies without this gene would develop many spiky protrusions all over their body, giving them a very hedgehog-like appearance. Sonic Hedgehog was simply named after the game character, as it is in the hedgehog family of genes, and after seeing the character on the cover of a magazine. I read some of the background about this as well. This is, Yeah, hedgehog first, and then I think some other varieties, including Sonic Hedgehog. Anyways, another thing you brought up is the idea of a single genetic trait that affects multiple characteristics of an organism. I think you used eyes and long arms as an example, but the one my mind immediately went to is a gene that results in both red hair and freckles, MC1R. Just thought I'd share that this example exists. The last thing is related to the fish that develop eyes, but lose them when in the dark environment of a cave. I seem to remember from a developmental biology course that neural cells often have this use-it-or-lose-it system already in place during development. Even in humans, many more neurons are formed early in development than are needed, but only those able to create strong, useful connections will remain while the others are destroyed or broken down. The difference comes down to their ability to communicate across the connections they make. It doesn't seem like a stretch for this to extend to the eyes, as they are formed from specialized neural tissue, and when the eyes aren't sending signals to indicate they are useful, they get the axe with the excessive neurons. Anyway, love the show. You guys are masters of science communication. Matt.
Ah, thank you, Matt. Yeah, thank you especially for bringing, the idea of a single genetic trait that affects multiple characteristics in the phenotype, in the body or behavior of the organism. I think I did use the idea of like smaller eyes but longer arms, just as a hypothetical. But I appreciate you adding a real life known example, the idea that a single genetic trait could affect having both red hair and freckles. I think the real one we talked about in those cave fish was the idea of a pleiotropy that would cause at the same time both regressed eyes, but also more taste buds around the mouth.
Yes.
All right. This next message is in response to our series on the illusion of control. It comes from Christopher. Christopher says, hello, Joe and Robert. On the subject of the illusion of control, and further to other listeners' comments, a student of Stoicism would say that we truly have no control over anything besides our minds. We can only control our perceptions and reactions to events and influences. Perhaps an episode on Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus? Kind regards, Christopher. Yeah, Christopher, that's an interesting idea. I guess I did think a bit about Stoic philosophers. I don't know a ton about Stoicism, but I did think a bit about that when we were recording the episodes, but it never came up in conversation. So I know I've read before that some of the Stoics, I think especially it was Epictetus, placed a kind of fundamental importance on discerning between that which is within our power to change and that which is not within our power to change, on being able to tell the difference there. In fact, as well articulated in a famous prayer, I think, used by people who are in recovery programs often. Mm-hmm. There, you know, and obviously, like, once you, the idea is once you tell the difference between things you can influence and things you can't, there are a number of other principles that follow from that initial judgment.
Yeah. As to the possibility of doing an episode on, say, Stoicism or something, I don't think we've done a real philosophical episode of late in terms of, like, getting into particular philosophers and schools of philosophy. We have more in the past, but maybe we're due for another.
Yeah, I think we could definitely come back and talk about Stoicism at some point. I think more recently we actually ended up talking about cynicism because we were talking about Diogenes the Cynic because we were talking about beans. And he,
that's right.
I think was famous for eating beans that were, you know, not that were kind of looked down upon as food by the elite of Athens.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and transition into a little Weird House Cinema. We have some Weird House Cinema left over from last week. Some new stuff has come in. This one comes to us from Louisa. Louisa says, hi, Robin Joe. Dune. What can one say that hasn't been said about it before? It was my first experience with sci-fi, although 30 years later, I don't really know if it fits in that particular genre. This new adaptation is wonderful, and it inspired me to make a quirky mug I wanted to show you. And then we get some images of this mug. We'll describe it in a second. We'll give the author here a second to continue. The Litany Against Fear, a sandworm on the side, and the mouth of a Shai-Hulud on the inside. I'm tempted to watch the Lynch version now, thanks to you. Thank you for your wonderful podcast. You're my weekly portal into scientific considerations. Best wishes, Louisa from Guatemala.
Louisa, this mug is great. It has the Litany Against Fear on the opposing sides of the mug. One half on one side, the other half on the other. As she says, the inside is just a big old bristly, spiky worm mouth. I prefer this mug to the popcorn buckets.
Well, you know, the popcorn buckets have their own charm, but this is something I would be more inclined to put on my shelf. I love the handle. The handle of the mug is, in fact, a sandworm. Beautiful job. I love it.
Totally. 5 out of 5 Kulwahads. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, this next message is from Jeff. Jeff says, "Greetings, science humans. Really enjoying the recent nostalgic Weird House picks. Your episode on Flash Gordon reminded me of being a kid and encountering movies on cable television with no preconceived notions. I distinctly remember the excitement of seeing Flash Gordon on the on-screen channel guide. I'd never heard of the character and thought it was going to be a movie about the DC superhero, The Flash." I don't know my DC heroes. Is that the one that runs really fast?
He runs really fast. Really, really fast, yeah.
All right. Jeff says, "Instead, I got something much more fun and imaginative, although I was pretty far into the movie before I finally stopped wondering when he was going to get super speed."
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't going to get it during the football scene, then yes, it probably wasn't going to happen.
Jeff, was it before or after the football combat that you realized what you were actually watching? Jeff says, "Obviously, I loved the movie and the soundtrack and would later watch it, or at least parts of it, many times as I encountered it channel surfing. The first time I saw it, I immediately recognized the Hawkman Assault theme as the song that played when you pick up the temporary invincibility power-up in the arcade game Vanguard."
Ooh, Vanguard. I don't think I knew this one. I'm looking it up now and seeing the cabinet art or poster art for it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I looked up some gameplay. Vanguard is a horizontal scrolling shoot 'em up. So the shoot 'em up games are the ones where you're like some kind of little spaceship and you're blasting a bunch of other spaceships that are scrolling either down the screen. They're like vertical shoot 'em ups and horizontal ones. This is one where you go from left to right across the screen instead of bottom to top. And I don't think I've ever played this one, but others in this genre, if you want to picture it, were games like R-Type or Defender. I was thinking maybe the Super Nintendo game that had the guy with the banjo on the cover, but I think that was actually a vertical scroller.
Vanguard, Centuri's first talking game. I guess it had a voice.
Wait, I just remembered. Yes, I did check this out. At the start screen, when you like press start to play, it has a robotic computer voice that says, Bon Voyage.
Oh, man. Now, I have to say, I looked it up on Moby Games. It has a lot of information on these old ones. And I was immediately captivated by the art for the Atari 2600 cartridge. Really cool image that is, of course, almost damning, because you look at that and you're like, no, there's no way that this game backs up this awesome image in any way, shape, or form. And then I scroll down. Who did the cover art? It's Ralph McQuarrie, famous for his concepts and sketches and his conceptual design for Star Wars. So, and also I believe he did Boggy Creek too. Am I remembering that correctly? Yeah, there's some sort of weird connection between his concepts that would have become the Wookiees and his concepts for the Bigfoot creature in the Boggy Creek movie. So I think he did the poster art for those as well.
Okay.
Legendary man.
Wow. So I'm just comparing now. The Atari 2600 graphics versus the arcade graphics look markedly different. The arcade one looks a lot better. Maybe I'm looking at two different things. I can't tell. Anyway, and thus concludes the extended sidebar on Vanguard. So going back to Jeff's message about the, remember it was about the power-up music that was the exact same as the Hawkman theme from Flash Gordon. Jeff says, I assumed it was some old classical piece or other historical melody that seemed to be hanging around in the culture forever, like the music in Looney Tunes. It was much later that I realized it was all the brilliance of Queen, and video game designers simply didn't know enough to be afraid of music licensing lawyers in those early days of the industry. Of course, I knew of some blockbusters through pervasive advertising, but a friend of mine experienced movies with an even purer lack of expectation. He grew up in the Middle East and would receive stacks of pirated VHS tapes, sometimes with multiple movies on each, with nothing but the titles scribbled on them. No Rotten Tomatoes, no Siskel or Ebert, just the pure joy of discovery. It could be a masterpiece like Ghostbusters or some Chuck Norris kickfest. There was no indication of genre or quality. Wow, that does sound fun.
Yeah, I mean, those old VHS tapes, if you didn't care about quality, you could fit three movies on there. Yeah. And I distinctly remember, having the VHS tapes with the three different movie titles scribbled on there, often like taped off of HBO by my aunt. And it would be a weird mix. It would be like a kid's movie and then Poltergeist. And it would like just cut abruptly to Poltergeist in a way that made you afraid as you reach the end of the kid's movie, that sort of thing.
I would tape things off of TV, especially when I saw like a commercial or promo for some TV movie coming up soon that looked like it was really going to be good. Mm-hmm. And an example of what would be upcoming that I thought was really going to be good was Forest Warrior starring Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I mean, it's a winning concept. It's him in the forest fighting, Bigfoot or something, the Sasquatch battles.
He's fighting poachers or something.
That sounds more likely.
Actually, no, I think it's like mean loggers. It's like bad loggers who want to cut down the forest, and he's like a martial arts ghost that must defend the forest.
All right.
So that's your kick fest. Coming back to Jeff's message, Jeff says, finally, I have a viewing recommendation called Delicious in Dungeon on Netflix. Rob, have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay, Jeff's going to describe it. He says, it seems like a perfect combination of subject matter for the two of you. The premise is that a party of dungeon adventurers have no rations and must consume the monsters they kill to survive. It works as a combination classic fantasy adventure plus cooking show. They have such respect for both tabletop and video game D&D themes that it feels as though you're playing a game where someone invited two friends from culinary school who are only slightly interested in the module, but fascinated with the monster manual and what recipes they could imagine on every page. It's light and funny and so far seems appropriate for viewing with kids. It's currently the show I look most forward to every week. Thanks for keeping the heart of the 80s alive, Jeff.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I mean, I'm especially interested if I can watch it with my son. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. It was not on my radar.
Oh, I just took a peek. This is animated. You may have said that, but I didn't realize that. I was picturing something live action.
As for keeping the heart of the 80s alive, yeah, I mean, just considering Weird House Cinema, I just did a checkup on this. We have, as of this recording, covered 53 films from the 1980s.
Wow, I would not have thought it was that much.
Yeah, yeah, 53. I haven't done a full breakdown on it, but for a while there, it was like 80s was in the lead, and then came like 90s or 70s, I don't know. And then for a while, we got super into doing films from the 50s, and the 60s are always up there. So, you know, there's a little bit of a push and pull there. And this is all out of the total 153 films that we've covered on the show.
Wow, it sounds like a solid third of them are from the 80s, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, we are, you know, we are both to differing degrees children of the 80s, so it makes sense.
Remember, Highlander, you're home.
All right, here's another one. This one comes to us from Carrie. Carrie writes in and says, Rob and Joe, I'm writing to suggest a pretty weird movie for Weird House. It's The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, a 1953, quote, musical about a young boy who hates his piano lessons and dreams of an evil piano teacher who has built a piano so large that he has imprisoned 500 children in his dungeon to force them to play it. I first saw this on TV in the 1950s and had vague recollections of it when I saw it again in the student union while I was in college in the 1970s. I wouldn't say it's good, but as I said before, it's weird. If you aren't already familiar with it, check it out and see what you think. Carrie.
You know, somehow I think this movie has come up before. I've never seen it, but I've looked up screenshots from the film. Apparently, it was written by Dr. Seuss, and somehow the movie looks as if it were illustrated like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, yeah. I believe listeners have written in about this one before. Yeah, I've never seen it, but I probably need to lean in for a closer look. Yeah, the stills, and you included some stills in our shared doc here, they look absurd. It does look very true to, like the production design is by Dr. Seuss in the best way possible, not in like a bad way, which can be possible.
Yeah, this looks like a toothbrush on my toothbrush that I do indeed wish to keep.
From the director of the 1953 3D Western, The Moonlighter.
3D Western.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've talked before about these different phases of the ups and downs and resurgences of 3D cinema. And yeah, occasionally they'll put out a Western.
I'm just picturing a lot of 3D, like mule kicking you in the face shots.
Anyway, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. Yeah, we'll put it, make sure it's on the consideration list for the future. All right. Well, on that note, I guess we'll go ahead and close the mailbag for today. But let's see, normal housekeeping stuff here. Stuff to Blow Your Mind is primarily a science podcast with core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, short form episodes on Wednesdays, listener mail on Mondays, and on Fridays, we set aside most serious concerns to just talk about a weird movie on Weird House Cinema. Wherever you listen to the podcast, if you have the ability to rate and review, do that. Helps us out. Helps make sure that we have some nice polished stars on the show. And let's see, if you want to follow us on any of the social media accounts that you already use, you can probably find us there. And likewise, let's see, we have a Discord server. Email us and we'll send you the link for that. And if you're on the Facebook, there is a group on there, the Stuff to Blow Your Mind discussion module. You can seek that out, join it, and you can then discuss various links with other people who listen to the show.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hi, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.